You're listening to the Maplewood Happy Hour podcast, hosted by Zach Householder and Alex Sutton. Mostly sports, always fun. Thanks for tuning in. Your happy hour starts now. What is up, everyone? Welcome into Maplewood Happy Hour. Al, we're here. We also have two special guests. Y'all probably know Richard. We shout him out every fantasy football pod. I assume we'll have a lot of the same audience here. Richard,
shout out Richard.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
So Richard lived with us on Maplewood. He actually lived with Al and Neil, and I replaced Richard in that house. And then we have Neil, dude. So Neil, say what's up.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
So we were all four roommates. I forget the year. Year of our Lord, what, 2016?
Ish.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Ish.
Richard so graduated like 2015.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess Richard graduated 2015.
Yep. So y'all went to high school together. Al and Neil are cousins. Richard's a longtime friend, and I'm like the black sheep that showed up late. But y'all took me in, and I appreciate that. So we're excited to do this Maplewood Happy Hour podcast, and we call it Maplewood Happy Hour because we all lived on Maplewood Avenue, and that's where we made tons of great memories. So we want to start out every show with some of our favorite stories as friends. And one of mine, since we have the whole gang together tonight, was the time that we ran into the All-American Rejects at a Days Inn in Indianapolis the night after Neil's bachelor party. So Neil, is your bachelor party. Start this one out for us.
All right. So 2016, summer of getting married in September. And we dialed up a trip down to Indianapolis. I think we hit Topgolf, right?
Yeah, sounds right.
And then
No. We did laser tag.
Laser tag, yeah. Laser tag.
Tactical laser tag.
Laser tag.
In a mall. And then,
yeah, like an abandoned mall, pretty much. Yeah.
I can't be trusted to plan these things.
And then, to go off of what Alex just said, and then we buzzed all the way up to the top side of Indianapolis to get to the hotel that we stayed at for Richard's to find out that halfway between where we were and where we were laser tagging is where our hotel was. So then we had to take that 25-minute drive back, get to
We were in like three different cars, weren't we, too? Like, everybody was separated way out there.
Oh, yeah.
It was cheap, though. We stayed in a nice, cheap hotel.
Hey,
is a strong word.
Ain't nothing wrong with balling on a budget.
Yeah, exactly.
So we get checked in, drop our stuff, hit the Hooties, get some great wings there. And then we went to the swim house. Joe and Michael Oaks is,
And Broad Ripple.
Yeah.
And Broad Ripple. Yeah. Yep. Boozed up there. Hit the bars.
You threw up.
Yeah. You guys ever played the game of life?
No, not the
I don't
game.
Think so.
I played the game of real life, which
played
is
the board game.
You threw up when you were chugging those IPAs, weren't you, that night?
Yeah. So, like, we're playing Kings, and Connor Snare, bless his soul, bought me, like, a case of Alpha Kings. So, like, that's what I had. So, I got the waterfall in Kings. And then, put that guy down. I was like, dear Lord, like, that stinks. And then Matt Friend and I were playing a game called The Game of Life where it's like someone asks you, hey, how's life going? And if your bottle doesn't have a rip in the label or if your can doesn't have a dent in it, you have to chug what's left. And so, like, I just chugged one Alpha King. And, like, I'm maybe – like two beers into the night, and so I had to chug my second one, and then he goes, hey man, how's life? And I didn't have my bottle label ripped, so I get like halfway through that thing and I like set it down. I'm like, boys, this ain't good. So I go out back, get rid of my wings, clear room for some more beer. We go out, hit the was that the Sportsman Tap or something like that down there in Broad Ripple?
Yeah, I think so. Like, the lamest bar start off with. There was nothing happening.
You know.
Which one was Nick talking about taking a shit at? Who takes a shit at a bar, he says.
Oh, that was Richard's.
That was mine. That was my brother-in-law, Aaron.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, who takes a shit in the bar as he's shitting on the back in the stall?
And there's no door on it at all. Oh. I don't remember.
And then, is that the one we hit up the brick house?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude. We partied hard at the...
Y'all didn't believe me and Al, because for Richard's bachelor party, y'all were waiting at Jimmy John's to get some nighttime food. And then Al and I weren't done. So we went over to the brick house and had the fucking time of our lives.
We were ready to rage.
We would not shut up about it.
That place was awesome.
And then next year, we went there for Neil's bachelor party and spent a good amount of the night there. And it was worth every minute.
Yeah, honestly, I think we spent like darn near the whole night. Oh, and then
that's the night. That's the night that they were doing the mashups.
Mm, yeah.
Dude, oh, mashups are fire.
You can't pass that up.
I mean, you paid like $100 to get All-Star played or something like that.
You can't not play All-Star.
Best song ever made.
100%.
Crowd pleaser 100% of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Then it seems to be the thing with us. We get just rolling at a piano bar, and then some doofus wants to go to some lame-ass bar down the road, which was the Rock Lobster.
That place sucks.
Oh, Rock Lobster's terrible.
And there was a cover, wasn't there, that night?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was totally worth the 5 seconds I was in there. And then bounce out, half hit Jimmy John. Some people went and got Euros, wherever that was.
Yeah. That was me, dude.
Me and Zach walked down there and he got one.
Euro burrito, dude. That shit was like $12, but it was amazing. I would do it.
Joe Messina ate two of those.
God, what a legend.
Dude, I wish I would have got one. But I mean, an ultimate porker at 3 a.m.
Not my best decision.
Richard goes, was it your bachelor party? We were at that Jimmy John's. And
yeah, because Aaron was there.
Can I get a cup of water? And she's like, it'd be $1.07. And you give her a two. And she gives the coins back. You're like, ah, too drunk to be messing with that right now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And that night we went to Jimmy John's, though, for Neil's. I got my sandwich and I walked outside. And there was a cop out there. It was like, shooing people away. That he's like, they're out of bread, go somewhere else.
I remember
why
that.
Why do you
yes.
have cops standing out here telling people that you're out of bread? I mean, you might be out of bread. Why is that a cop's job?
Yeah.
Building Jimmy John's more secure than the United States Capitol.
Yeah. Ooh, I like
Ooh,
it.
Too soon. Anyways, let's get back to it.
So we hit that Uber triple fee to get back to the hotel.
The other one I jumped in the back of that lady's van.
Yeah, yeah dude. That okay. lady was sweet.
She was awesome.
Yeah, and then dude, close out the night. I forget. I think we had 9 dudes for 3 room or 2 rooms or something like
that. Super
like,
mega bed.
Yeah, and then we get up the next morning and we're slugging down some B's and G's, and there was a Blink 182 concert at Bankers Life or Noblesville. One of
yeah,
the
it was at Ruoff.
Yeah.
Now it's called what?
It's Ruoff now. It used to be Klipsch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It used to be Klipsch. Yeah.
Yeah, and. We're sitting there slugging down some B's and G, and like these rocker guys keep walking around and are like, oh yeah, you know, the Blink concert, whatever. And then this tall, skinny, moppy head looking doofus walks in, and Zach's sitting there like, dude, I'm pretty sure that's guy from All American Rejects.
That's a bass player.
Yeah. We're like, no. He's like, dude, that's the lead singer. And we're like, no. So Zach, dude, I think we can all assume he was hungover as shit.
Oh, I was too.
Yeah,
the bass player?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure he was probably more hungover.
Yeah. So had a little bit something up the nose, probably.
And the guy's standing at the coffee, getting coffee, and Zach walks up. He's like, hey, man, are you the lead singer from All American Rejects? And the guy, like, no. Just turns his head, looks Zach dead in the eye, says, not me, man. Shuts the coffee machine off, walks away. And we're like, ah, dude, Zach, you just got stiffed.
And then after that, they all got in their van and left, like, super quick.
Yeah, so, we were going back up to the room, and their tour manager was like, all right, we got to drive out today and tomorrow out to Denver, this, that, and the other. It's like, man, that guy just did not want any fan interaction today.
There was a period of time when – so I asked, and I was – All American Rejects, like, they could define my middle school career.
Oh, like, for sure.
Dirty Little Secret is a fantastic song. Fantastic record. Move Along. I love that record. So Yeah, man. And
great music video too.
Who was the kid standing on the balcony looking over the lobby just going,
that was Matt.
Darkness.
Yeah, dude. That was Matt. That was epic.
Tonight.
He was trolling the All American Rejects to the All American Rejects. There was a period of time, so I asked Tyson Ritter is his name, and I didn't know that because I was drunk and I was like looking at pictures. I was like, that's 100% him. He had the VIP badge, and that's how I was like, okay, I know there's a concert.
Dead giveaway, maybe, the VIP badge.
Well, it wasn't him.
I was just like, maybe they're backstage passes. And like some fans like came from like Ohio and they just grabbed a hotel for the night and they just got to meet the band, hang out. And like, you go backstage, you're there pretty late. My dumb ass was like, oh, that's the band. So they had their credentials. And I was like, that's gotta be him. So I was like hungover as shit. I'm going up to like get a bagel, pretending I need another bagel. And then the spark conversation. I was like, hey man, you the lead singer for the All American Rejects? And I'm pretty sure if I would
spark
like,
conversation, dude, you're going right into it with
yeah.
That.
Well, I'm pretty sure if I would it right there.
Remembered his name, it probably would have gone a little bit better for me. But since I didn't put a name with like the person I was trying to talk to, I just couldn't think of it. He didn't like it. He's kind of a dick. So he's like, he just, like Neil said, just looked me dead in the eye, said no, and then left. And I was like, I went back to my table defeated, and I pulled back my phone. I was like, that's got to be him. So we left breakfast. They're all congregating in the lobby. I'm talking to Richard on the way up the stairs. And I'm like, dude, that is 100% them. If it's them, we're going back down. I'm getting a picture. It's like I said, big
influence. Because we were looking up on our phones trying to get a picture of them all.
I was trying to find a picture, and I was looking at their tour schedule because I heard them talking about Denver.
Oh, it's you.
They had a big impact on 12, 13-year-old Zach.
100%, dude. 100%. So I'm like looking at their tour schedule and I'm like, yeah, they're going to Denver. They're talking about Denver. They play in Denver in 2 days. It's like, that's them. I go back downstairs. And I'm like, Richard, you're coming with me. Like, cause I'm right. No one believed me. And then as I go back downstairs, they're all outside loading up in the back of a like Chevy Tahoe on their way out. And this was at a Days Inn in Indianapolis. So, oh, how the mighty have fallen. The All American Rejects opening for Blink 182 on a reunion tour. We crash them at a Days Inn in Indianapolis. I think about it to this day. Dirty Little Secret is one of the first songs I learned to play on drums. And we're talking Rock Band, the video game. So, man, that moment, despite it not technically being a meeting because he denied his existence right to my face, I think about it all the time.
But yeah, man.
It was a lot of fun.
I don't know if you remembering his name at the time
would have helped.
If you would have gone up to him and was like, hey, man, Are you Tyson Ritter? Are you TR? You TR, brother?
Like, he'd be like, no, brother. But yeah, man, I don't know. He wasn't super thrilled, but like you said, he's probably hungover. I was hungover. It's like last thing I need is some idiot in a freaking Days Inn in Indianapolis recognizing me. So his cover was blown. That's all there was to it.
I just think it's awesome that like he was like, this dude's gonna ask me for a picture if I say yes.
Like this fucking
so I'm gonna say
like
no.
24-year-old dude, you know, it's not like I'm some middle. Look, I guess, you know, I was in the influential stage in middle school when they were like the shit to me. So yeah, I was definitely gonna ask him for a picture, but because of the time when they meant a lot to me was like, that's a vulnerable time for any young lad. So I love their music. And then since then, it's like what Move Along came out in like 2005, right? Not a lot has happened for the All American Rejects since then. We're talking Days In and Indies, so they didn't get.
They opened for Blink.
Well, like, they didn't get an RV. They just had a van or a Tahoe with a trailer. So
I want to say, was I in high school or would have been like my freshman year of college? I think they released an album or at least a single. I think tried to make a comeback, and I think it just crashed miserably.
Yeah, they got poppy. They went from like punk pop to just regular pop, and punk pop is where they lived, at least for me. But me, I still listen to their music. It's good shit. But dude, that was a fun story. Thanks for telling it, Neil. And yeah, dude. So anyone else have any highlights of that night before we move on to some sports talk?
I got hit on that night. Other than that, I got nothing.
Okay.
We had to walk like 2 miles to the bar. I felt like down that down the like Greenway kind of thing.
Oh,
for Indy.
From the house.
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember that.
The Monon Trail. Mm-hmm. People die there.
Yeah,
not us. Squad rolling tight.
We were not tight. I remember we were all spread out. There's people like way in the back.
There's about 12 of us scattered all over the place.
We pre-gamed really well. Say that.
Was the girls' swim team there for part of that? Like some of the girls that we graduated with?
They were they met us at Brothers, man, and that's one of the girls that hit on me. I don't know her name, but I didn't appreciate it. Dude. Like that's a piece of meat.
Make feel cheap.
All right, we'll go ahead and move into some sports talk. So Maplewood Happy Hour is a brainchild of MW Media. If you're not familiar with MW Media, we started this up like, I don't know, what, a month, two months ago, Al? So Al and I have a fantasy football podcast, and then we decided like, hey, in the off season, it'd be really great not to talk about fantasy football. So we started this podcast as a way to talk about shit like you just heard, fun stories where we all have some really fond memories, and then mix in some sports talk in there too, but not necessarily fantasy football. So we're going to hop into some sports talk, and it's going to be college football tonight, NFL playoffs, Bill Belichick, Deshaun Watson making the news, and then we have some NBA news as well. So we'll go ahead and start out retrospectively with some of the stuff that happened last week, kind of farther back. We'll start with the college football national championship. Alabama kicked the shit out of Ohio State. 52-24 is the final score. Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith had a massive first half and unfortunately didn't finish the game. He dislocated his finger, but his final stat line is 12 catches for 215 yards and 3 touchdowns, and that all happened in the first half. So pretty fantastic. Ohio State kind of played an uninspired game. You know, I heard some people saying Notre Dame would have played better, and I call bullshit on that because Notre Dame got rocked by Alabama just the week before. I don't think Notre Dame should be allowed in the college football playoff again. If we have any Notre Dame fans in listening to the pod, I'm probably going to piss you off, but that's just my opinion. But I think even more annoying than Notre Dame making the playoff as many times as they have is Alabama football fans acting like they didn't know this was coming. So I have a question for you guys, and I will lead with an example. Name some things that are harder than being an Alabama football fan. You got a team that is perennially good. They always have a top recruiting class. They have a head coach that's going to be there until he dies. They've won, I don't know how many national titles. They always have elite talent. And yet Alabama, the fans never seem to act like they've been there before. So things that I think are harder than being an Alabama fan include making cereal, coloring inside the lines on any coloring book of any level, cutting a pineapple, actually kind of difficult. And then we'll go with word searches. You know, that's just kind of a test of will. So what do you guys think is harder than being an Alabama football fan?
Being paralyzed.
I mean, that's actually hard.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty difficult.
Yeah, well, I mean, you said name something. That's the first thing that came to my mind.
That's fair. I do agree with that.
Putting pants on in the morning.
Putting pants on in the morning is very tough compared to being an Alabama football fan. And this question sparked because videos were going around of Tuscaloosa post national title and like shoulder to shoulder, probably not a lot of masks, given the fact that it's Tuscaloosa. Like, no offense to Alabama, but I'm watching a video right now, and it's insane. It's insane. So, Neil, what's harder than being an Alabama fan?
Getting the peanut butter all the way to the crust on four sides of the slice of bread.
Dude, that is tough.
In one go.
Okay, yeah, dude, that is tough. That's art. That's art right there.
Yeah.
You're talking one swipe across the bread?
Like in the commercials, dude. Like where they just... Yeah.
Okay.
Those guys are trained.
I don't know if they have Bobby Flay doing those commercials or what, but
do we have any other submissions for things that are harder than being an Alabama football fan?
Not hitting the snooze button in the morning.
Okay. I like that. Anything else? We got three. Go.
Taking a shower.
Yeah. Making it like trying to get soap on all the parts of your back that are hard to reach.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
That's harder. So the point of this question is, it is easy as fuck to be an Alabama football fan, and I'm tired of them acting like they've never won a national title before. I think
it was like being a Patriots fan minus this year.
Yeah, for the past 20 years, you know, being a Patriots fan has been one of the easiest things to do. That's a good comp. So
now I have to say, like, you don't think that the Notre Dame game was a better game than Ohio State, though? Because, I mean, it was 31-14.
I think Notre Dame made it interesting late, just because like they could. Alabama kind of stopped, they took their foot off the gas. I don't know. I mean, Ohio State beat Clemson. I think
yeah.
Alabama Clemson's the game we all wanted to see, but Clemson didn't perform and they didn't
they shit the bed.
So I was excited for Ohio State's chances given how they played against Clemson, but
Ohio State never stood a chance, man.
No, dude. Oh. It's always the college football is one of the most difficult things for me to pretend to care about every year, even if they expand the playoffs. So like it's a 14 playoff right now, obviously. And there's been talks of expanding it to make it more competitive. It's always going to boil down to Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State. And kind of toppling off of my recent triad about Alabama, I think Ohio State can compete for the most annoying fan base in all of sports.
For fuck sure. Yeah.
They always, I went to school in Ohio for 2 years. They always feel like they are somehow disrespected or slighted. And again, this is a school that always has top recruiting classes. They're always ranked in the top 10. They play in a dog shit conference. Like they're going to win the Big Ten almost every year, if not every year. Their biggest competition is Michigan. Come on, like get real.
Yeah.
They definitely weren't disrespected this year. The Big Ten changed the rules so they could make it in.
100%, dude. They shouldn't have been there. They stole an opportunity from Indiana, which Indiana wouldn't have made it to the national title conversation, but the Big Ten championship, dude. And what a
Tom
year
Tom Allen,
was,
coach of the year.
It was weird. Oh, yeah. But anyways, well, that's my triad like, about college sports. Richard, what do you got to say?
Like Ohio State should have been so much fresher in that game than Alabama because Alabama played 13 games this season where Ohio State only played 8.
Yeah.
That's 5 less games. And in football, a contact sport, there's going to be so many more injuries for Alabama in that time span and those 5 extra games than Ohio State had at all.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So, I don't know. College football's over. We're on to – oh, I guess here, what's your take on – so Indianapolis, we're from Muncie. Indy hosts the Combine every year. I saw Adam Schefter officially listed the NFL Combine as questionable for this year. How do you think that impacts –
overrated, though.
How do you think it impacts players' draft stock? I mean, we got a lot of – pretty polarizing names coming out of the college football scene this year to the NFL.
I think the Combine's a big – I mean, it's a big opportunity for people to make the names for themselves. I mean, that's where Blake Bortles did it the year that he was coming out. I mean, he shined at the Combine, so he was able to move up to, like, what was it, the number one pick?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
But, I mean, so I think it'll definitely hurt some people.
I think it's probably hurt your
superstars will be all right. It's the smaller school guys or the guys who are just like viewed as okay that it'll impact.
That's what I was gonna say. Is like your Ohio State, your Clemson, your LSUs are gonna be fine. It's gonna be your Ball State, your Miami, or Miami of Oxford kind of teams that are just like your MAC schools that are gonna struggle with this. Those players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
They need that time to show what they have.
Yep. So it'll be interesting to see if that goes or not. And they still will have pro days. So these guys can showcase like the agility drills, the speed, the catching. Like they'll be out there somewhere, but with the combine, it's like officially timed. All the scouts are there. It's just a spectacle and it's kind of cool. It's one of the few things cool about Indiana. So kind of a bummer if that doesn't go this year, but I mean, it's just something we all talk about. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead. The NCAA announced that they're going to have the March Madness tournament here in Indiana, like 5 locations.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
We bubble now, in.
Are they having any fans there at all? Did they say, or is
it? I would assume not.
Right. So it's cool to think about, but then it's like, yeah, no
doesn't
one's
do us any
to
good.
Watch anyways. We just have the gymnasiums for it.
I remember going to the Butler games when they were here in Indy, back when they made their run. I went with Aaron Loy, and that was amazing being there for that atmosphere.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and switch out of college football now. Let's talk about the NFL playoffs. Round one. It's old news now, but we have a Browns fan amongst us. If you listen to
the
fantasy football podcast, we shout out Richard all the time. He is a Browns fan. So, Richard, this moment is yours. Tell us how you're feeling as a long-suffering Browns fan. You got a playoff win versus a division rival. How was that for you?
I feel like it is the changing of the guards for our division now. Like it's now the Ravens and the Browns divisions to like fight for. Like the Steelers are going out. They have so many people that need re-signed. They have Big Ben, I think, is going out. But like watching that game when we were up 35-7 at one point, I never felt comfortable being a Browns fan that we were still going to win that game. Like over the years, there's so many games we'd be up by like 25 points and then we shit the bed the rest of the game and we lose.
Yeah.
And I was for sure, like, when they started making their comeback with Big Ben, I'm like, this is it. This is it. We're over.
Prepare to be let down. Yeah.
In and out.
So what, describe in like a word your emotions during that game.
Tense. I would say very tense. I was on the edge of the seat the whole game.
Now describe your emotions in a word after the game.
Optimistic.
Okay.
I would say, because I think if we can play how we played in the first half of that game against Kansas City, we have a shot.
Yeah, no doubt. The story of that game was turnovers. Big Ben threw four picks. They had a fumble the first play of the game that was recovered for a touchdown. Momentum was in favor of the Browns almost the entire game. I mean, I didn't see it coming, especially without Stefanski. So if he's back in the mix, I mean, he was kind of their leader all year from the sidelines. So
like that,
it's a daunting task, but
that challenge call that the interim coach made for on that catch, easily a catch. Everybody, like, when he challenged, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I don't know if he just wanted the timeout and thought maybe he'd have a chance of it being overturned.
You can't trust the special teams guys.
No.
That's why he coaches special teams.
Yep.
Yeah.
So next, in some additional NFL news, excuse me, Doug Peterson's fired from as the head coach of the Eagles. Al and I talked about this ad nauseum on our other podcast, our season finale episode. So check that out. It's still relevant stuff. The A to Z Fantasy Football Podcast, where you'll find that. But we were talking about, did Doug Peterson throw this game? And we thought it was a front office decision. I still stand by that. But just days later, Doug Peterson is let go from his duties as the head coach. Following up that crazy questionable decision to bench Jalen Hurts. And I think that was a front office call, but I think that kind of led to some tempers flaring, and Ian Rappaport reported that Peterson was sick of people telling him what to do. So I think that kind of reinforces the narrative that it wasn't his call to bench Jalen. He was trying to win that game, and someone from the front office was like, hey, you need to do this. So it's like, he kind of felt kind of like their bitch, for lack of a better term. And no one likes that. So Doug Peterson out as Eagles head coach. He doesn't have anything. Reportedly Adam Gase is like the front runner for the job. Like,
oh, I
the
hope
fans
so.
Want the fans want him.
I don't understand, dude. We just got done dunking on Adam Gase for like 25 years, it feels like.
They and want the 2022 number one pick.
That's the only thing I can think. Like, the Jets kept him around all season to tank, and he couldn't even do that right. He accidentally won some games. So
they're playing checkers. Everyone else is playing chess.
That's what it sounds like.
They want the 2022 number one pick.
It's crazy, dude.
Now, I was reading an article on Peterson that the reason that he got fired wasn't for the benching of Jalen Hurts. It was his attitude in the meeting with the GM.
Dude, I would imagine he went in there and
probably like pissed
off.
Yeah, he was probably pissed because they made him do it, and then he was taking all the heat, and the front office wasn't. He probably told them to go fuck themselves.
Yeah. That's how I imagine, especially with the Rappaport quote. Peterson was sick of people telling him what to do. So I bet he let that out, and they just said, all right, it's time to part ways. So I think it's kind of a relationship that was on the fritz anyways, and this is probably best for both parties. I do think Peterson gets another head coaching gig. But I don't know where. There's a lot of vacancies.
Speaking was he an OC before?
I think so. Yeah, he's been a good coach. He's a Super Bowl coach. But speaking of relationships on the fritz, go ahead and transition. That was a pro transition, fellas. Deshaun Watson. There's drama in Houston. It's been heating up for a couple of weeks now. Rumors are that he is not traded to another team. He might hold out this season. So backtracking, he was furious with front office about not being included in the GM hire. And he's also been advocating for Eric Bieniemy, who's the Chiefs offensive coordinator, to be hired as the head coach. He's feeling he's not being heard or respected, especially as a franchise quarterback. So he has the support of former Texans legend Andre Johnson, and then probably still the best player on the Texans, DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, just kidding. They traded him away. So
Arian Foster too hopped on that train.
Okay. Yeah. So he's got the support of some really prominent Texans names and say, like, dude, hold your ground, because we agree with you. Most of it ties back to, I think, the owner of the team kind of just being a shitbag. So do you guys think that Watson plays for another team next year, or does he not play at all? Or does he play for the Texans?
I think he's on a different team.
I do too.
I would agree. And like, to follow up the story, they have announced they're interviewing Eric Bieniemy, So I don't know if that's to appease. I assume it's to appease Watson to make him like feel like, no, we want you here, man. But I feel like bridges have already been burnt. It's been reported that he's not returning calls from upper management on the team. So this is definitely a situation to keep an eye on, because obviously, like, I think Watson is probably a top five quarterback in the NFL in terms of pure talent. So,
but I mean, who's going to be able to trade for Watson?
Well, there's a lot of package trades. I mean, we talked about it last week on our other podcast. The Texans, like, they're a rebuilding team with a franchise quarterback. It's a really rare situation. Usually you see like a team, I don't know, the Falcons could be seen as rebuilding, but they have an old quarterback who's got like 1 or 2 years left. Like, they can suck and acquire good picks along the way, or they can trade those guys out and get picks right now if people are willing to take on like old veterans to try to win now. But with the Texans, I don't know. I mean, they have no draft capital. They just have a really, really, really good quarterback, and that's about it. So it's an interesting situation. If I was Watson, I'd 100% want out, because there's no future there. Like, they're not set up to win now or later, in my opinion.
The only thing is, like, if you sit out, what does that gain you? Because that's not a year off of your contract.
Yeah.
You're not getting anything out of that. I mean, I don't know the logistics part of it, but I feel like you'd be more successful doing what Carson Palmer did in Cincinnati and just retire.
Well, I feel like
– or threatened to retire, and they're like, well, shit. I mean, we might as well get something for it.
Yeah. And here's about to be another pro transition, fellas. I feel like what we're seeing out of Deshaun could be similar to what we saw from James Harden. James Harden just bitched and bitched and bitched and bitched, and he got traded. They said, we want you out. So I feel like eventually, if you want to keep a locker room culture intact, this is a team without a head coach currently, just hired a brand new GM. They're trying to make it feel like they're rebuilding. They have a lot of work to do. And if you have a quarterback who clearly doesn't want to be there, you might as well get whatever you can for that guy, send him out, and they could get a king's ransom for Watson. He's 25 years old. He's insanely talented. So I think the right move for both Watson and the team is to move him and get whatever they can, because they're going to get a lot. He's got a really bright future in the league. I hope for Watson's sake, it's on a team that can actually win. So,
yeah, but I mean, like, so the, of the teams you think of that need a quarterback, I would go like Jacksonville, New England, the Colts, the Dolphins, maybe, but and the Broncos. Some people say the Raiders and the Bucks, maybe.
Bears.
To like replace. Yeah, the Bears too. But like the Colts and the Jags are already out, because the Texans are not going to trade within their own in the AFC South. The Dolphins are looking good with Tua right now. So why would you want to give away a king's ransom for a player like that when you can just build around the team that you've already started with?
Well, he also has a no trade clause in his contract. So anywhere they try and trade him, he has to agree to it, or yeah, they can't do it.
So he's got a lot of leverage. And
he
also
said Miami was one place that he wanted to go.
Yeah.
If I'm Miami, dude, I'm not unloading everything that they're going to want for him.
Yeah.
The reports out of Miami, though, some players are not quite impressed with Tua after they say a disappointing rookie year. I thought Tua was fine. So I don't know. It would be interesting. This is a story to keep an eye on. He was okay. Like, as the prospect he was touted to be, I think he did kind of fall short of expectations. But we also didn't expect him to start this year at all. And then right after their bye, when they were in really good position within their division, they're like, okay, we're switching quarterbacks. So I didn't think that was going to happen. It was questionable all around. But they view Tua as their future, and the GM is sticking by that. He's already announced that Tua is their starter next year. So, I mean, that could change if they trade him away for Deshaun Watson. But something to keep an eye on as we head into the offseason for sure. But speaking of James Harden, we just talked about another player who is clearly unhappy with the situation. I'm not a huge NBA guy. We're all playing in the NBA or a fantasy basketball league this year. None of us know what we're doing.
3-0, baby.
3-0. So, James Harden – this trade was insane. And as not a basketball guy, I need some help.
14 trade.
So, Alex, you did some research for us.
I did.
Make this trade make sense to me.
I would say out of the four of us, I'm probably the resident NBA guy, even though I really only follow the Pacers. However, this trade did involve the Pacers. So here's the breakdown for you. The trade involved the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Brooklyn Nets, the Indiana Pacers, and the Houston Rockets. The Cavaliers receive Jarrett Allen and Taurean Prince. The Nets got James Harden and a second-round pick. Pacers received Caris LeVert, second round pick. The Rockets, who hands down, in my opinion, won this trade, get Dante Exum, Rodion Carux, Victor Oladipo, a fourth round pick, four first round picks, all unprotected, four first round pick swaps, all unprotected. That is just a massive haul for one dude who currently, I forget who sent out the picture, but currently looks like Mark Henry, dude. Oh, yeah. he's touted as the slowest average, like has the slowest average speed in the NBA.
He looks huge.
He is, and I mean, he was a cancer in the locker room. His production hasn't been anything like it has in years past. And in a world where it takes all of us to stay healthy, he's in Atlanta on off days at strip clubs, maskless, just all up in strippers' titties. You know, I mean, this is not the guy you want on your team. Ship him out of town. He said he wanted to go to Brooklyn, go back with KD, get him out of there. And in the meantime, you got scores, you got picks. The fact that they have picks, that's going to be huge in the future.
No doubt, man. Thanks for bringing.
They have John Wall. They traded for John Wall in the offseason. So
for some reason, James Harden was like adamant about not playing with John Wall. Like he didn't want that to work from the get.
It's because James Harden doesn't have a song about him.
I think Jason Kidd's gonna put fines on him for missing weigh-ins and like missing weight.
Jason Kidd, dude, what are you talking about? That's like 5 years ago. We're on to that
coach.
No, man, we're on to that other white point.
Steve Nash, right?
Steve Nash, yeah. Dude, big basketball guy over here.
Big basketball guy.
Dude, thanks for breaking that down. It makes a little bit more sense now. I'm still not quite in tune with the NBA. Like, that just seems unfair in favor of the Rockets with all those picks. And then I think Oladipo's good. Like, he played for the Pacers. If I had to pick a team to support, I would either go – this is going to sound super homer, but I'm a Packers fan, so I'd go Wisconsin to the Bucks, or I'd go to the Pacers, my hometown team. But I'm not a hometown football guy, so –
Now, has a trade like this ever happened in the NFL where it's like three or four teams trading a players around?
I don't think that happens in the NFL. I think it's like strictly two teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, good questions there. But
in the NBA you can trade coaches. I mean, that's how Doc Rivers made it from the Celtics to the Clippers. They traded him. Dude.
That's impressive. God. Didn't know.
Imagine if you like got Bill Belichick as your new coach in a trade. I'd be like, holy shit.
All right, we're gonna move on back into some NFL round two playoff predictions. We're just gonna go around, give our predictions for each game, and yeah, man, we'll see how we do next week. So we'll start out with the Saturday games. Rams and Packers. Everyone go. I'll take the Packers.
Give me the Pack.
Take the Pack too.
Like the Pack.
The fact that it's unanimous scares me, but let's roll with it. It's in Lambeau, so I like that a lot. Ravens at Bills. I will take the Ravens.
I like the Bills. I might just be saying that because of what they did to the Colts, but I like the Bills.
You know, if it's snowing, I'll take the Bills. I think there's a chance of snow.
You realize they like Maryland and Buffalo are really close to each other.
Yeah,
but you know, snow's in Baltimore, right?
But Lamar said that like he's not.
Oh, he's never played
in snow.
That's true. Yeah,
but if it's not snowing, I'm probably still taking the Bills.
Okay,
I think I'm gonna go to Bills with a 3-point game.
Okay, I'm the only Ravens guy here. That's fine. I'll take it.
I'm an AFC North guy, so I'm never going to cheer for another AFC North team.
I understand. So on to the Sunday games. We have the Browns at the Chiefs. And I'm sorry to do it, Richard. I'm taking the Chiefs.
I am too.
It's a tough one. I'll go Browns with Richard.
Okay.
I'm going to go Chiefs. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to go Browns. Yeah, I'm waiting on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, 40 points each team in that game.
Okay. I like that.
How have the Chiefs done against the run this year?
Not well, I don't think.
They have an average defense.
Nick Chubb's a machine.
Not anything to write home about.
Now, did you guys see the stat about the Browns and the Chiefs had up? It was the Browns have more big plays this year than the Chiefs by like four or five different – or like in each category is four or five more times.
Interesting.
Dude, much. I didn't realize that.
The Chiefs have played a lot of one possession games this year. When we were doing the fantasy show, I noticed, like, you think of the Chiefs as a dominant offense, and like Al said, they have an average defense, but they're like squeaking games out versus opponents. You're like, oh, they're going to crush them. So, like the Chargers, when Herbert started like 10 minutes prior to game time, and then Tua kept the game close as another rookie quarterback versus a veteran defense. So it'd be interesting.
Hope Kareem Hunt just like pounds it in like all day, dude, on the Chiefs.
The irony of like
a little revenge game.
It's a revenge game, but it's like its own fault. Like you still kind of
I still love that meme where like it's the coach of the Chiefs saying, "Man, I was upset when they said we were getting Kareem Hunt, and I thought we were getting a cream donut or something like that."
Andy Reid, yeah.
Cream donut.
Our last game of round two. This is a rubber match. Actually, not. It's a just the third matchup of this team this year. Bucks at Saints. The
on the History
Saints
Channel.
Won. The, the History Channel. The Saints have won the previous two matchups this year, so they swept the Bucks during the regular season. We got the Bucks traveling to New Orleans, and I'm going to take the Bucks to right the ship. I think they've been playing better as of late than the Saints have.
I'm going to take the Bucks as well.
Dude, I'm going to go. I'm big Kamara guy this year.
I love Alvin
Kamara. I'm taking Saints, and I mean, don't count out Taysom Hill.
It is at the Bucks stadium, right?
Tight end, wide receiver,
no, it's in New Orleans.
It's in New Orleans. Man, if there was fans there, I'd definitely take the Saints, but I think I'm going to go with the Bucks.
Yeah, I think they can. I don't know if they're going to lose the same team three times. But that being said, there's a mental advantage the Saints have knowing they've already beat them twice. So I think this is going to be maybe one of the most interesting games. I don't know about the most watchable. I think the Browns-Chiefs might be the most watchable just for the storylines involved. I'm going to be obviously really heavily invested in the Packers game. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, Aaron Donald, don't know if he's going to play. And Jalen Ramsey on Devontae Adams is going to be like just fireworks. It's going to be awesome. So that's going to be an impressive showing there from one of the best corners and the best wide receivers in the NFL right now. So those are our round two predictions. Stay tuned for results next week. So we're going to wrap the show up with kind of an open-ended segment. We're going to keep this like fluid. We could do interviews. We could do lists, rankings of things we like and enjoy, or just random conversations. And being the first show, I didn't know what to do for this. So I just want to reflect on a conversation I had on Twitter earlier this week where a person made me irrationally angry for refusing to acknowledge the reality that is dinosaurs. He does not believe dinosaurs walk the earth. So I want to talk to you guys, and maybe I learned something new about you tonight. Do you guys believe that dinosaurs walk the earth? Yes or no, and support your statement. Alex, get us started. This is important.
I mean, I think so. Don't they, isn't it like, don't they say that they've never found a whole dinosaur before? So they don't know. Yeah. So they don't know how big the T-Rex actually was.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. They never found a complete set of bones, but they find enough to construct a T-Rex where you can make inferences that the T-Rex is, or T-Rex is like 40 feet tall.
They're still dragons.
I was going to say, Richard enlightened me on a new theory on dinosaurs, and I'll let him explain that. But I just saw today on the Facebook news source that like there's like hair doesn't fossilize. And I mean, there's nothing that disproves that like a Brontosaurus had hair down to his shoulders. So that being said, yeah, I think dinosaurs probably real. Museums tell me so.
Right.
I would definitely say that they are 100% real. I think our concept of what we think dinosaurs look like is completely backwards on every aspect. Because like I've seen pictures of like they'll give the bones of like a baboon to somebody that draws up dinosaurs, and it'll look like the craziest creature in the world. And it's like, that is not what a baboon looks like, or anything that they give them. I 100% think that they're real because something had to be here before us.
Right.
Before so, humans were here.
What's your theory that Neil was talking about? Is that the theory?
The theory for the T-Rex is that since the only skeleton part of the skeleton they've actually been able to find 100% of the time is the skull, is that they think that there is a possibility that the T-Rex is actually a dragon, because if it was a dragon, their bones are going to be hollow and they're going to break down a lot easier. And dragons are the only thing in every culture in the world back in the day when no cultures were connected that is unanimously there. Like China, you have it. Down in Africa, you have it. In North American Indian culture, you have dragons. Up in the European, up in like England or Scotland, Scandinavia, they all have dragons. So like, there has to be some connection there.
The folklore involved in that theory, I absolutely love. I've never thought about it that way.
It's a life changer. I mean,
like that.
I mean, they look a little bit different in their cultures, but I mean, they have the same general idea, like fire breathing or can fly, look like a lizard.
Yeah, man, I could see it. I've never dove into the theory. Perhaps I'll do some research tomorrow.
What's your favorite dinosaur?
Mine's going to be a velociraptor. I think the toes are dope. They're functional and they're kind of like a mini T-Rex. They're very fast. I feel like T-Rex, you sacrifice speed for size. I think if you're faster, like I think a velociraptor could absolutely beat the shit out of a T-Rex in a fight just because of the speed advantage. So what about you guys?
I'd probably go with the raptor. They're pretty cool.
I'm probably going to Megalodon, dude.
Okay, dude. So that's what I wanted to talk about next.
I think that's the most undefeated. Like, that guy's undefeated in every battle.
100%, dude.
I mean, obviously, not a land battle, the Meg? But
have you seen that movie?
No, but I mean, Jaws freaked me out enough. Like, everything's really scared of Megalodon.
It's not a bad flick. Honestly.
It is a good flick. I'm going to go with the Mimosasaur.
Okay.
What the fuck
like
is that?
Mimosas.
Yeah, explain what that looks like for the non-dinosaur lovers.
Think of it like, you know, in the new one with Chris Pratt.
Dude, so don't hate me. I've never seen Jurassic World.
Oh, jeez. But it's the one that kills the Indominus Rex at the end. Like the one that jumps. It's a water dinosaur and it jumped out. And then that's what killed the Indominus.
Interesting.
You think that thing's taking down a Megalodon?
Is it bigger, you said?
Do you think it's taking it down?
Oh, yeah, easily.
Shit. Those are strong words. So I want to transition now to the water dinosaurs, because this was this bozo's argument. He said that his friendships, and this was on a different tweet chain. I just hopped in. I said, I'll throw my 2 cents in there. I found a bunch of pictures of fossils, took some really professional screenshots. I said, these are not paper mache. Not paper mache, dude. So he responds with this terror crocodile, a name I cannot pronounce, with, quote, banana-sized teeth. So it's this massive, it's a painting of this giant-ass crocodile jumping out of the water. I said, well, I don't fuck with water creatures of the ocean. We don't know shit about the ocean. So, Neil, when you said Megalodon, I mean, they're technically extinct. But how do we know? Like, we've explored more of outer space than we have the ocean. We don't know what's down there. If there's a freaking alligator down there with banana-sized teeth, I'd buy that.
Jim Cameron's been down there. He knows what's up. He would have made a movie about it if he would have saw it.
Man, so you're not buying the banana-sized teeth crocodile?
I'm not buying that. Okay, we've probably explored further into space, but like, if you take the percentage of space explored versus the percentage of like the ocean explored.
Oh, you're talking about galaxies. Yeah, there's no way, because we're limited in space travel. But we're also limited in ocean travel on our own Earth, which I think is fascinating.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm sure there's a giant squid down there somewhere.
Dude, in the Mariana Trench, dude.
I'm not saying that I believe or like, I'm like, oh yeah, it's totally plausible an alligator with banana-sized teeth exists. I'm just not going to discount it based on the fact that we can't possibly say it's impossible because of how little we know about our own ocean.
So, like, you can attract the whole ocean at the same time. Like, just because you go to the deepest spot doesn't mean that guy's not 300 miles away in shallow waters that nobody's seen.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Speaking in absolute scares me, especially about important topics like dinosaurs. I mean, I don't know who this guy thinks he is. I'm just really frustrated. But I mean, that's it.
That's important. I mean, like, you got to be absolute on that.
See, I think it's better to not be absolute. I'm going to acknowledge that they absolutely existed. I'm not going to acknowledge that a giant alligator with banana-sized teeth absolutely did not exist. I think that absolute's insane. It's just too bold. Exactly. You don't know. So if he wants to go prove to me that creature didn't exist, I'll eat crow on this. but I'm going to wish him luck in his lifetime pursuit of proving this wrong.
The thought of, I don't know if it's necessarily unknown, but the thought of like a water creature, like could attack you at any point while you're in the water because you can't see it coming. That's what keeps me up at night.
So you're I used to have nightmares of that when you had to go to your guys' lake house. Dude. Like you can't see down at the bottom. Like what if something's going to come up and like just take me down and I'm done?
Dude, maybe
that's the thing, man. Is like there could very easily be crocodiles in a freshwater lake. Like you don't know if some lunatic has just like released like five of them. And then, you know, they get big and then you're just hanging out playing basketball and those little fuckers bite your leg off, dude. I mean, you just don't know.
Dude, people forget snakes live in lakes.
Water moccasins, those fuckers come out of nowhere.
Yeah, dude.
Dude, we'll have to do another pod where we talk about, we can use this segment right here to talk about our fears. I think that'd be an interesting conversation because we already kind of got started on it and it got me thinking about a lot of my own.
I mean, that's my only fear.
I'll save it. The ocean or water?
Fear. Snakes in a lake.
Okay. Dude, that's a solid specific fear to have. But man, do you guys have anything? I think we're about out of topics. I think this is a good appropriate episode.
I got three things I just want to throw at you. I think they're topical, they're sports related, and we can just get some quick feedback. All right, and they're just headlines.
Okay.
This one's not really up with the times, but it did just happen. Kentucky baseball and basketball player Ben Jordan dies at 22 years old. And in the article, it was an undisclosed reason. How do we feel about that? What are our thoughts?
Dude, that's sad. That's terrible, dude. It's terrible.
I mean, it is sad. It is sad. But why do you think it's undisclosed? Why do you think they're not?
HIPAA.
They're not detailing that.
Yeah, I would say HIPAA.
That Utah running back just died. He was 19 years old, and he just died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. They released that.
That's a crime, though. That was more of a crime than an investigation.
Yeah, this one could have been an undisclosed medical condition, like diabetes, or maybe not diabetes. That's more common, but like the big heart kind of thing. Yeah, Journey Brown, the running back of Penn State, he was like a top running back in this year's class. He had to hang up his cleats because he got diagnosed with a heart condition. So maybe it's something he just didn't know about and it caught up to him. Could have been COVID. Could have been a lot of things. So
if you guys want to take the fun out of that, but all right.
I mean, it's not fun to talk about someone dying.
Yeah, okay.
Holy shit.
This has got dark. Next one. Ex-Olympic swimmer Cleet Keller faces three federal charges for participation in the U.S. Capitol riots.
Oh, dude, speaking of the riots, I have one more thing to wrap the show up with when we're done with this. Fuck that guy. He take his gold medals and shove them up his ass.
It's a tough look in the eyes of just over half the population of the U.S. and then probably like...
Olympic hero to the other half.
to the just
move over, Michael Phelps. Let's go.
Like I was just talking to Ashley about this last night, or it was either last night or tonight, and I was like, so the people that were in the Capitol that broke in, 100% in the wrong.
1,000%.
Terrible people. But like the people that were just there at the rally that weren't doing anything wrong, I can't condone them for protesting something peacefully because I would say probably 80% of the people that were there were protesting peacefully, I would say.
And this is, I wrote an article about this on our website, and comparing the police presence of the Capitol, which they literally breached a federal building in the nation's capital, which like supposed to be the most secure location in the world. And you had a police presence that they were overwhelmed by protesters versus Black Lives Matter over the summer, which I attended a Black Lives Matter march in Muncie. And there was more cops there probably. I don't know. That's probably an exaggeration, but like just the fact that we saw police and riot gear, like preeminently there expecting something to go off the rails, and you have like thousands of these yahoos, like no offense, but these are yahoos. Like I can disagree with someone's politics and they can support a different candidate, but these people are fucking yahoos in my eyes. That's my personal opinion. I'm not speaking on behalf of any of you guys, but like they knew this was going to get violent, and in Washington DC for this to just go off the rails the way it did, insane, absolutely insane. So I don't think there's an excuse. I like you, Richard, I do agree that the majority of people like that didn't storm the building itself. Yeah, fine. Voice your opinion. Do whatever you want. I don't care if I agree with your opinion or not. You have the right to voice it. But when we're going to slander Black Lives Matter for like the slim percentage of violence that occurred at those marches, because like that's all we saw was the rioting, the looting, the burning of buildings. Well, they weren't the Capitol, it was a fucking Target or something like that. And then most of the time they were outside agitators that weren't participating in the march. They were literally just trying to stir violence, or it was the police themselves, which is the very reason they were out there in the first place. So I think the causes of these weren't the same. And this protest was organized around election results, which like every court case besides like two minor ones, Trump lost. So like one, I think it was rooted in delusion. Two, Black Lives Matter, that was out of a desperate need for equality in this country dating back 400 years. So yeah, I mean, I'm going to say that, yeah, you can voice your opinion. Doesn't mean I have to agree with it. You can still do it. I agree. I don't think that everyone there was bad per se, but yeah, the people who got in the building, they were not in the right there for at all. So
I'm just glad Paul Blart's reemployed at the Capitol Police after his shift at the local mall. I'm just sad that happened on his watch. You know,
it sucks, man. It's not a good look for Paul. Not a good look at all.
I got two little points real quick about this subject. So the first one was, me and Al were talking about this today a little bit, is why isn't there like a rapid response team of the U.S. military that's highly trained at the Capitol at all times?
Good question. Like, I mean, National Guard was, they asked the National Guard to show up and initially it was declined.
Yeah. But I mean, like they should be on station. Like there should be 20, 50 guys in that Capitol building in a room that are fully decked out and military gear, assault rifles, all the nine yards, that are prepared to deal with this kind of situation.
I mean, what if they wouldn't have been Americans? You know what I mean? Like,
what if they would have been Americans that were black? That's the thing that like stands out to me glaringly, is the way black people were treated over the summer. If they would have been black, they would have been shot outside. No doubt in my mind.
And then, my other thing is I was kind of talking to him about also is, what would it take for you to go to civil war against your country? Like what would you have to go to civil war about? Cause like, I would not be going on a civil war about election results.
No, cause like, that is completely counterintuitive to what the country was founded on. Like we're founded on a free and fair democracy where people get to vote on their leader. And if you don't like the results cause your dude lost and you're going to go to war over that, you just can't count. Like, I don't know.
Cause I mean, the only thing I was telling him about was the only thing I could see myself going to a civil war about is if they were heavily taxing the population to a point where like you just can't live anymore. And like they just keep on doing it, and they keep on like enforcing it.
Yeah.
That'd be a point where I could see myself going into and joining one. But other than that.
Yeah, dude. It's wild. While we're on the topic, Bill Belichick, this is a story I forgot to bring up earlier. Bill Belichick, it was announced that Donald Trump was going to award him the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is the highest civilian honor an American citizen can earn from the president. And Belichick declined it. He, in kind of a curveball move to me, because like Belichick's one of the hardest people to read in all of sports across the board, declined to take the medal and cited that he didn't agree with what was going on in the country, didn't support it, and didn't want to be associated with the president who it all happened under. So what are you guys' reactions to that? We're getting real political in your episode one.
So I think it's a good move on his part. I mean, you don't see reports or anything, but just from like when the Patriots won the Super Bowl and then went to the White House and just other things like the way the NFL's handled, and I mean, you could easily say that the NFL is probably more of a has more of a Republican feel to it.
Conservative, but, old, white, rich dudes who own all the teams.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at Bill Belichick and you look at Donald Trump, I wouldn't be shocked if they were friends. However, dude, I feel like that award goes to somebody who, like, has an act of heroism. Like, somebody who rescued 40 people in 9/11 and got them out of the building and sacrificed themselves, or you know, something like that. Like, not somebody who has coached in the NFL for 35 years and won six Super Bowls.
This was a shining keep politics out of sports moment for me. Just kidding, it's complete opposite of that. So what do you guys think, Neil and Richard?
I just hope like he truly didn't won it. You know what I mean? And it wasn't just like a PR. Thing. Yeah, like I truly hope that he didn't want to accept that out of like his beliefs and his principle. Yeah, like versus an optics.
Yeah. What about you, Richard?
I think that he probably did want it, but the way the Patriots team was this year, with not making the playoffs for the first time, and then what was happening in the Capitol, I think that he just thought it'd be too much of a PR nightmare for the Patriots organization with the way the season went.
Dude, coming off your worst season in 20 years, and then on top of all the other political implications of it, just it's a bad look. Plus, you didn't do great. You didn't earn a medal this year.
You'd push so many fans away, like the rest of the fans away that aren't the bandwagon Patriot fans.
That's a good point. So, Al, you had a couple more points. It's a good conversation.
Yeah, I got one more. Do you guys think that Tokyo can safely host the 2020 Olympics in the age of COVID?
I don't know that anyone can. I mean, if you're going by COVID guidelines, I mean, just the sheer number of athletes that are going to be there. I don't know if there's enough square mileage in any city to socially distance or keep space. And
yeah,
especially Tokyo, like that's such a clustered city.
Yeah.
I think you had to loosen your definition of safely. I think they're going to try. I mean, this would be the first time in history the Olympics have been. Well, I guess they canceled or postponed. What are they supposed to happen, like last year or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it was Tokyo 2020.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, I think they're going to give it a go. Hopefully by then. I mean, it's the Summer Olympics. We're coming up on them. They'll be here before we know it. I'm going to say no, but I think they're going to try.
I'm going to bring up, like, I'm an avid Disney fan. We go to Disney World all the time. And when I go down there, even during the pandemic, people want to be there. And I think that's going to be the same thing for the Olympics, is people want to be there. So they're going to follow every rule to the T. It's not like going to the local Walmart where half the people are wearing a mask because they just aren't intelligent enough to know that there's a pandemic.
Maybe half.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that logic there. Like, it's a privilege to compete in the Olympics. If you're going to partake in a privilege, like being on Twitter at Donald Trump, you got to follow the rules. And if you're not going to follow the rules, you're not going to be there. So interesting thought, interesting question. Something, I mean, we're going to be potentially talking about the Olympics on this podcast. So yeah, man.
Only imagine like the mental drain that the shifting of the Olympics a year out had on the athletes.
Dude, that trained specifically for a 4-year window and then it got pushed to a 5-year window. Yeah.
And I mean, like Father Time is undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
And a year makes a difference in some athletes. And I don't think all sports, like I think a lot of sports hadn't even got to like set their teams yet. So like those older athletes that are like, oh, this is my last year. Like my body's hanging on by a thread, or like, you know, you're coming out of a crushing 4-year training cycle and then go, hey, we're not doing it. Yeah. Hang on. 365. Let's hold do it.
Yeah. That's wild.
Just think if it was like the FIFA World Cup, how like, you know, it takes like a couple of years to get up to the World Cup with all the qualifiers. Like what would they be doing right now? Like, would they be pushing, are they pushing the qualifiers back too? Or are they still having those? Because the qualifiers should be happening right now too, leading up to the World Cup.
I think soccer or football is kind of on track. Europe got it under control pretty quick with like, in terms of no fans, playing guidelines and stuff. I think Nate, my brother, is a huge soccer fan and they're doing a lot of international friendlies right now. So I think the World Cup's still on track to be played. I'm not sure what year though. So
now, do you guys enjoy the Olympics more or the FIFA World Cup?
World Cup, 100%. I was a soccer player since I was 5. So not only am I invested in the sport more, I think it brings the world together in a more meaningful way than the Olympics do. The Olympics are cool, but like, I don't give two shits about most like track and field or the Olympic, like even wrestling. I wrestled in high school and college and it's just not that interesting to me. I think soccer really captivates the world, men and women, dude. Yeah. Women's US team, shout out to them.
I'm gonna go Olympics. Okay. Bigger fan of the Olympics.
Well, you're a swimmer too, right? So
yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, we had an incredible run with Michael Phelps, obviously. And then now we have Lily King, the distance lady whose name escapes me right now. Ryan Murphy is just out of this world in backstroke, and then Caleb Dressel, probably better than Michael Phelps in anything under a 200.
If any of our listeners knew any of those names, at Zach FFB, let me know.
Now, I would say I never woke up early, like at 8 o'clock on a Saturday, to be able to watch an Olympics, but I have woke up early to watch a soccer game at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Soccer, I feel like there's always that delusion that it could be the United States year.
It's never
we always
be.
Go into
absolutely
it.
Absolutely not.
Where it's always a narrative. Like, is this the year they get over the hump? No, it's not. I can guarantee
not
you.
Not without Landon Donovan, dude.
Next World Cup, it's not going to be the year. It's not. But we're going to hear that storyline. The United States women's team is the only thing that can, or the only team that can win a World Cup.
And they get no credit.
They get no credit. They get shit all over. But
plus, the Olympics had Mr. Bean in their opening ceremony. So
that was a good one.
That was awesome.
I mean, I will give the opening ceremony to the Olympics, but the event itself, I'll go FIFA World Cup.
Dude, what's weird is that like that soccer match could end at like 1-0, but yet I find them to be much more electrifying than anything in the Olympics.
Yeah, I agree.
Really?
I don't know. The Michael Phelps run was pretty electrifying.
Now that's over, and unless you're a fan of swimming, you're not going to really find it that enjoyable.
5% of us in the United States.
Yeah, you didn't have the national attention of like an entire country.
You're telling
for
me
one guy.
You don't enjoy watching countries throw a badminton game to get a better seed in the next round? That's a storylines. In badminton in the Olympics is unreal, unmatched. You talking table tennis with that reverse grip, switching hands?
I don't find that
electrifying. Oh my god, you're insane, dude.
Dude, let's wrap this show up, fellas. This is episode, I guess, 1.5 kind of Maplewood Happy Hour. It's our first real episode. I appreciate you guys being on. It's a lot of fun. Our goal with this show is just to talk life, talk sports, talk life again. We're going to kind of sandwich it in there every time. So it's a lot of fun. If you feel so inclined, leave us a review. I'm trying to get everything squared away with Apple Podcasts, but for right now, it'll be available on Google Podcasts and Spotify. So catch us there. Apple Pods, I'll let you guys know when that's up. So Al, Neil, Richard, thanks for joining. It was a pleasure. It's an honor.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Again soon.
Yep. Glad to be here.
This was Maplewood Happy Hour, fellas. And we hope you enjoyed it. This is going to be our new show. We're going to figure things out as we go, much like we do with the A to Z Fantasy Football Podcast. So give us a follow and just come along for the ride. So we will see you guys next time.
See you later, Zach. See you, Al. See you, Richard.